And here is Bill Miller. He is the owner of Smiling Dog Pet Services. And if I do buy a Golden Retriever, he will be the trainer of it. I believe he has four or five in-house at the moment. Let's find out what he does. Bill, nice to talk to you. Christopher Russo, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Okay, first off, where do you get these dogs? But how do you tell me about your business, how you get these animals. Let me hear. Go ahead.
Well, I've been doing private training here in Fairfield County for about 13 years, and I'm a Midwestern boy born and bred, and I still have some relatives back there. So I go out to the Midwest probably three or four times a year, and I know a number of Golden Retriever and lab breeders that I've known for a long time, and so I can get some good quality dogs that I like. Hips are tested, elbows, eyes, all that stuff has been certified and checked. And then I get the puppies at about 8 weeks of age, and they live with me for the next 6 to 7 weeks. And I crate train them, and I put all the basic obedience into them. And then once they get good, I give them to the families to completely ruin.
Now, how about the idea? And my little pal Steve Torrey here, who does all our updates, program director of this channel, says you lose a little puppyism when you go to a trainer to take care of your dog. It kind of takes the idea of having a dog out of the mix by not training him yourself. How about that, Bill?
Well, you could tell Steve, if he wants to share in some of my puppyisms that I've been getting here the last week of up two or three times in the middle of the night and cleaning crates out, he's welcome to share as much of that as he likes. But the answer really is you're still getting a lot of puppy. And all I'm doing is taking them at that very beginning stage and just putting in some basic rules and boundaries and getting them used to being in the crate. Because initially when new homeowners or new dog owners get a dog, they tend to just, you know, give it the keys to the castle as soon as they get home. And as a result, they're saying things like, oh, the dog chewed up my rug, or he went to the bathroom behind the couch, and he did this. I always tell people that's when you want to get up the rolled-up newspaper, and it's a very effective training tool. And when you find that your dog has chewed something up or has gone to the bathroom, you get the newspaper rolled up nice and tight, and you hit yourself around the head for giving the dog too much freedom. And that's who gets the blame with the rolled-up newspaper.
Oh, not the dog itself. Is the Golden Retriever, is that an intelligent, is that one of the smarter breeds, Bill, or not?
They're a highly trainable breed. They love to please. They love to be around people. Some dogs aren't very social, yeah, and so they tend to bond with one family or one person in that family. The Golden Retriever tends to be more of, they're not going to attack the burglar coming in your house. They're going to show you where the jewelry is.
Yeah, I've had a lot of calls. We're getting 9 million calls on this. I got a Chow Chow, try that. I got a Hungarian Whistler, try that. I mean, there's so many exotic animals. What makes the Golden Retriever a little different than all these other great dogs here?
You know, there's millions of great dogs, and it really, each one is bred for kind of a specific thing. And the reason the Golden Retrievers and the Labs are so popular is they fit in, they easily fit into an active household with kids like yours, or, you know, an active household, maybe somebody still hunts and they want a dog that's going to be active in the outdoor. It's a very adaptable dog. Now, granted, there's millions of other dogs that are great breeds, and you could have success with many of those, but, you know, from my standpoint, I want this to be successful for you. I want you to say, like, wow, I have this dog, and it's trained, and I can't believe it. And if you start to get exotic kind of breeds, they have different tendencies, and you may not be suited for that particular breed.
All right, do you train other dogs, Bill, or you just specialize in Golden Retrievers and Labs?
No, I train anything.
Oh, you do train anything?
Absolutely.
So if
Absolutely.
If you went to New Mexico to get a litter of Chow Chows, you can bring that dog back to your home in Fairfield County. You can figure out a way to train that dog too.
You'd be eating right out of my paw. Absolutely.
No kidding. What is the key to training a dog? You're taking out of away from its mother, any dog. What is the key after 6 to 8 weeks, I guess? And I guess that's the time you take it away from its mother. What is the key for a trainer like yourself to reach that dog quickly after 8 weeks of age?
Well, really what you want to be is you don't want to have a lot of emotion. And that's the thing that people tend to do. They tend to, oh, poor, they throw all of this love on this dog, and they don't think about setting up just some basic rules and boundaries in the house. So initially what I like to do the first week I have them is I'm just real easy with them. And, you know, I handle them a lot. I get them used to the crates. I'm giving them treats in the crate. And I'm making them nice and comfortable. And then after they get acclimated that first couple of weeks, then I'll start to do some just kind of get them used to walking on a leash and just starting to enforce some of the basic commands. And then once you get a good grip on just the basic obedience and you have the dog under control, then the best thing to do is to get it heavily socialized, which means you know, take it to downtown New Canaan, walk it down the street, walk it, you know, you want to get it exposed to a lot of different people, places, and things.
What's the difference between a golden retriever and a lab?
Well, hair, for one. The golden retrievers have longer hair. They're both basically gun dogs or hunting dogs that are bred to go after things that get shot and bring them back to the owner. So you have a lot of similar characteristics. The labs tend to be just, you know, shorter hair, basically.
How about allergic situations for any dogs, but specifically golden retriever? How about that?
Yeah, every dog, I've yet to see a dog that's 100% hypoallergenic. Now, there are some that they say they are, but I've seen these dogs, people be allergic to them. It's really up to, you know, breed specific and the individual's allergies. I mean, I've seen people that have been allergic to one particular golden retriever, but not another.
What is the, for instance, if I said, Bill, what dog should I never get for four kids or three kids? What dog would you say breed is a tough breed with kids?
Well, I would say, you know, I think you had mentioned earlier something that somebody had talked to you about rescue dogs.
We should get into that. You were listening to that. Go ahead.
I think there's nothing more noble than rescuing a dog that needs a home, and I totally agree with that. However, if you're a family and you have young kids in the family, boy, I think you're almost crazy because you don't know what you're getting. And, you know, I don't want to take a chance with my kids on something like that.
Oh, really? So the negative about the rescue dog with young kids is you, despite the fact that it might look great when you go there and visit it at the shelter, you can never guarantee that that dog's not going to snap at a five-year-old, huh?
You don't know, Chris. And if you go to any shelter, they'll give you a statistic, and I may be wrong, but it's somewhere around 40% of the dogs that people get from shelters end up coming back.
Is it that many?
And that's an awful lot. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that you're not having that experience. That once, you know, you get that dog in your house, you know, come hell or high water, he's staying at Russo the rest of his life.
Now why bigger dogs always don't live longer? How come that's the case, Bill?
Well, I think, you know, they eat a lot of McDonald's and they tend to get some people food. But
you think that's got the diet's got something to do with it?
No, I think generally larger breeds, it's more taxing on their hearts and on the rest of their body. So you do tend to see the larger dogs like the Irish Wolfhounds and the St. Bernards tend to, you know, maybe have a little bit shorter lifespan.
Is there a difference between a female golden, really any dog, is there a stark difference between a female golden retriever and a male golden retriever?
You know, a lot of people are very passionate about male versus female. In my training experience, I really don't see a big difference. And I've seen some nasty females, and I've seen some nasty males, and I've seen great on both sides of the spectrum. So I think more than anything, that's going to be kind of a personal choice.
How long does Bill Miller, Smiling Dog Pet Services, trains all sorts of animals, and then he gives them to, sells them to families? How long can you tell how long does it take before a dog's personality begins to show itself? You get it at 4, 6 weeks old, 8 weeks old, you have no idea. When do you begin to see a little personality develop?
First of all, you don't want to get a puppy away from its mother before 8 weeks of age.
Is that the norm for any dog, 8 weeks?
You 8 weeks, there's a lot of socialization that goes on with the mother and the litter mates. I've seen some people give dogs at 7 weeks and 6 weeks. You're going to have more problems.
So, oh, really?
I say don't get a dog until it's been, you know, at least 8 weeks of age. So that's the first step. And by the time they're 8 weeks of age, you are starting to see a little bit of personality. The person that owns those dogs is going to be able to tell, you know, which one of these puppies is the most dominant. Which one of them is, you know, scared to death or the runt and can't socially, and it'll be off to the side. So you'll start to see the extremes. And then the longer you have the dog, you know, the more you can tell individually. But most dogs kind of fall in the middle.
All right.
And that's where you want them.
For your money, what is the smartest breed out there? It's not the Golden Lab. For your money, Bill Miller, what's the smartest? What is the easiest dog to train for your money?
Oh, now you're, those are two different things. Now, just because a dog is easy to train doesn't necessarily mean it's smart.
Good point.
Because a dog's smart doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to train.
That's exactly. I'll explain both. Go ahead.
Think of a border collie. A border collie, one of the smartest dogs around. It can handle a millions of different tasks, but it is also trained and bred to work on its own, to handle flocks of sheep and that type of stuff. So it's making decisions on its own. It takes a very strong owner to get that smart dog to do what it wants.
Oh, really? So a border collie, which we saw on the computer here, my producer took a look at it, Colin Schmeling, and said, boy, this is the smartest dog here that they say, but that's a dog from your perspective that's impossible to work with.
Yeah, and a typical suburban household, that kind of dog is going to drive you nuts because it's so high energy. It's going to, if you don't exercise it, it's going to, you know, dig your yard up. It'll pace. It'll herd your kids. It'll herd their friends. It'll, you know, if you don't give a dog like that a job to do, you're in a lot of trouble.
All right, how about the dog that trains easy but is a dopey dog? How about that?
Well, you know, that tends to be some of the more popular ones. And, every dog, every breed has dopes and stars in them. And what you want is that middle of the road that's going to respond to most of what Chris Russo says and most of what your wife says and most of what the kid said. You don't want that, you know, most dominant dog that's going to challenge you for everything. And then you don't want the weakest dog in the pack that's going to be afraid of everything. So, again, in moderation.
In moderation. And one last thing. How about the exercise for a big dog? I know Stevie, my producer, just walked in. Our program director had a going lab. He loved it. Got sick. Had to put it down. But the exercise, very important. How about a golden retriever from an exercise perspective? What do you recommend there?
I say more is better.
You what?
You know, the more time you can spend throwing that ball, the more time, you know, you can take that dog for a run or a jog, or even the more time you can set up and just do kind of like some drill obedience work with the dog. Whatever you're doing interacting with the dog, you're taxing him. You're making him tired. He's mentally tired. He's physically tired. And a happy dog or a tired dog is a happy dog.
Somebody called with that slogan. That's true, huh? Tired dog's a happy dog?
Absolutely. Tired dogs don't chew your Persian rugs and chew up your golf shoes.
And how about food? I mean, is it good to give people food to dogs or bad?
Well, you're going to get fat dogs, just like we've got fat people, if you feed them people food. And you see that with labs in particular. People tend to overfeed them, and they have a tendency to be overweight. Goldens as well. So.
Oh, really? Because people, yeah. they love them so much, they feed them, and they can eat so much, and they're basically the size of the kitchen table to begin with, so they're right in front of you.
Exactly.
Basically, you people feed those dogs like it's going out of style. Is that what it comes down to?
Just find a good, solid pet food. I like dry food for big dogs like that, and they do it just fine. You don't have to sprinkle Parmesan cheese on it or get your dog to eat. I've never seen a dog starve himself.
How about you, Bill? You get these dogs. You have these dogs, as you said, for about 8 to 9 weeks. I know the litter you got now, you got the first week of December. No, they were born the first week of December, so you got them a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
You're going to have them until April 1st. You got an attachment to them. How about you giving that dog away? How difficult is it for you?
Well, it's actually worse for my youngest son, who swears he's going to kill me every time I give away his favorite dog. But I've gotten to that point where, boy, I love these dogs. But it is so much fun when you take one of these puppies to somebody's house and you see their little kids take this, you know, 4-month-old puppy and stick their hand out and say down, and this puppy just lays down right in front of him.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the cool part of this, and that you just, you know, people are glad to see you, and these dogs are really incredible. And
so,
that's what I do, is make it so it's easy for you to have a dog.
One last thing. If somebody came to you and said, I have kids, you know, I got a big yard, money's not an object, I want you to get me the best dog that suits that particular group. I mean, got some kids, they're an athletic family, all those kinds of things, got a fairly decent yard, money is no object, and you can do anything you want. You can go any dog in America, you can breed, you can get that British lab that people have been talking about here today. What dog would you get?
My personal favorite dog, and the personal dog I have, I'm on my second one, is called a Kuvaz. Kuvasz.
What is that? Now tell me what that is. Go ahead.
It is technically, it's a Hungarian flock guarding dog. So it's a dog, all white, big dog, kind of like a Great Pyrenees. But they were bred to live with flocks of sheep and protect them from wolves and coyotes. An extremely smart dog, almost spooky smart. But it's not a typical first dog, you know, a first dog family type of dog, because it's a big kind of a guard type dog, and it needs a strong owner.
And so that dog, you wouldn't necessarily for four kids, but for you personally, that's your favorite animal. That's your favorite dog.
And I have have kids and the whole bit. So it's a very good dog, but it does require a strong kind of a dominant owner, which you're going to be right after you have this first dog.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's going to be a great second dog for the Rooster.
Bill, great job. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work.